one day.
Good morning, radio listeners, and welcome to Because He Lives, the radio ministry of the Church of the Nazarene in Barbados. I am the Reverend Lindsay Arthur, the assistant pastor of the Western Light Church of the Nazarene at Oxnard and St. James, and I am the director of Lifelong Learning Barbados, the Christian Education and Training Division of the Church of the Nazarene in Barbados that is affiliated with the Caribbean Nazarene College. Thank you for allowing us into your personal space this morning, wherever you may be. Don't change that dial. We have good news for you this morning, news that will strengthen you today and during the week ahead. First, let me thank our sponsor, Federal Motor Spares, for supporting this radio ministry. Federal Motor Spares is an automotive parts retail store. They're located at Bank Hall Crossroad near the Bank Hall Church of the Nazarene. They have been a reliable partner in ministry for many years. So shop for quality automotive parts at Federal Motor Spares. Also, did you know that the Church of the Nazarene has been in Barbados since 1926? That was approximately 18 years after the Church of the Nazarene was formed in 1908 at Pilot Point, Texas, in the United States of America. Next year, 2026, we will celebrate our centennial, 100 years of ministry in Barbados. We thank God for helping us reach this important milestone, which we plan to celebrate in a big way. Listen out for more about our centennial celebrations in the weeks and months ahead. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this new day. We come to you, Lord, with open hearts, seeking to draw closer to you. Thank you for the privilege of reading and studying your word, and for the lessons we will learn from it. Teach us, Lord, what it means to follow you faithfully. Let us hear your sweet voice. Strengthen our faith, deepen our commitment, and give us the courage to follow you obediently and serve you wholeheartedly. Let your word bring transformation and encouragement and renewed devotion to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen and amen. As we move through this Lenten season, we are beginning a three-part sermon series titled Journey to the Cross, Lessons from Christ's Final Days. In these messages, we will reflect on the final moments of Jesus' ministry before his crucifixion and resurrection, drawing lessons that will strengthen our faith and commitment to him. Today, we begin with following Christ in the face of opposition from John 12, verses 12 to 19. This is the account of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. This is a moment of great joy, yet within it lies a deep paradox. Jesus is celebrated as king, but misunderstood by the crowd. In fact, the same people who cry Hosanna would days later shout, "Crucify him." This raises a critical question for us today. How do we follow Christ faithfully when the world misunderstands him and when expectations of him do not align with the truth? Let's explore this further. The passage, John 12, 12 to 15, opens with a great crowd welcoming Jesus as he enters Jerusalem. It reads, "The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel.'" This is a joyous occasion. But the crowd's expectations were wrong. They saw Jesus as a political liberator, someone who would overthrow Roman rule and restore Israel's earthly power. In fact, the palm branches were symbols of nationalism and military victory, not spiritual salvation. Hosanna meant "save us now," reflecting their urgent earthly desires. But notice what Jesus does. Instead of arriving on a war horse, he comes riding a donkey, as we see in verse 14, fulfilling Zechariah 9:9, which reads, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming seated on a donkey's colt." A donkey was a symbol of peace, not war. Jesus was not coming to meet their expectations. He was coming to fulfill the will of God. He came as a humble king with a mission of spiritual salvation, and his kingdom was not of this world. Just as the crowds in Jerusalem misunderstood Jesus at that time, people today still struggle with misplaced expectations of who Jesus is and what it means to follow him. Many want a Jesus who fits their desires rather than submitting to the Jesus of Scripture. Many today follow the prosperity Jesus, expecting him to guarantee health and wealth. They believe that faith in Christ means God will always heal them from sickness. They will always have financial abundance. Life will be free of hardship if they just claim victory. But Jesus never promised a life without trials. In fact, he said, and I quote, "In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." John 16:33. If someone is struggling financially, does that mean God has abandoned them? No. Christ calls us to trust him even in scarcity. If someone is battling illness, does that mean they lack faith? No. God's power is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. True discipleship means trusting Jesus even when he does not meet our expectations of comfort and success. Instead of following a Jesus of convenience, we must follow the Jesus who calls us to faithfulness through every trial. There are some too who follow the moral teacher Jesus, accepting his wisdom but rejecting his lordship, his claim to be the Son of God, his call for repentance and transformed living, his authority as Lord over every aspect of life. Some people say, "I love Jesus' teaching on kindness, but I don't need to follow his commands." Or some might say, "Jesus was a great religious leader, but all religions lead to God." And there's still another person who might say, "I can live however I want, as long as I'm a good person." But Jesus never presented himself just as a moral guide. He declared, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me," John 14:6. This means we cannot pick and choose which parts of Jesus to accept. Following Christ requires total surrender, not just admiration. If we only want a Jesus who affirms us but never challenges us, then we are not truly following him. We are following a version of him that we have created. And there are some who follow the emergency Jesus, calling on him only in crisis. They live life their own way when things are good. But when trouble comes, illness, job loss, or family issues, they suddenly call on him for help. While Jesus is always ready to hear our cries, true discipleship means walking with him daily, not just in emergencies. Do we only pray when we need something? Or do we seek a relationship with Christ every day? Do we follow his teachings in both joy and sorrow, or only when it is convenient? Jesus said in Luke 9:23, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." Daily surrender to Christ means following him in good times and bad. It means trusting his plan even when it's not what we expect. It means recognizing him as Lord every day, not just in crisis moments. True discipleship, friends, means aligning our hearts with Jesus' mission. even when his mission is not what we expected. What's interesting about this entire passage, too, is that even the disciples did not understand what was happening at first. John 12:16 tells us, at first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. The disciples were right in the middle of God's plan, but they couldn't fully see or understand it at the time. It was only later, after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, that they looked back and realized everything had unfolded according to God's perfect designs. Like the disciples, there will be times in our own lives when we don't understand what God is doing. We may face personal challenges, job loss, financial instability, or career uncertainty. We may have family difficulties, strained relationships, wayward children, or painful conflicts. We may have health challenges, a serious illness, unexpected diagnosis, or prolonged suffering. We may even experience spiritual struggles, seasons of doubt, unanswered prayers, or discouragement, opposition for our faith, criticism, rejection, and social isolation because of our beliefs. The fact is that in these moments, it is easy to ask God, God, where are you? Why is this happening? But John 12:16 reminds us that understanding often comes later. Right now, we may only see confusion, pain and uncertainty, but one day, whether in this life or in eternity, we will look back and see God's hand was guiding us all along. Now I want you to know that there are some practical steps to trusting God in uncertain times. Lean on God's promises, even when we don't understand, for we can trust His word. His word that says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. In all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. Romans 8:28. So we are to lean on God's promises. We are also to remember past faithfulness. Just as the disciples later understood, we too can reflect on times when God has been faithful before. We can think back. Has God brought you through difficult seasons in the past? We can remind ourselves, if He was faithful then, He will be faithful now. There's another practical step. We must stay close to God in the waiting. When we don't understand, our temptation typically is to pull away from God. Instead, we must stay connected to God through prayer, pouring out our heart to God, honestly, through scripture, finding strength in His word, and through Christian community, surrounding ourselves with people who encourage our faith. We must also surrender control to God. The disciples in the text wanted a Messiah who fit their expectations. But Jesus came to fulfill God's greater purpose. Are we willing to let go of our expectations and trust that God's plan is higher than ours? The prophet Isaiah, in his book, chapter 25, verses 8 to 9, reminds us that, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Right now, friend, you may be walking through a season of uncertainty, suffering, or confusion. And like the disciples on Palm Sunday, you may be celebrating one moment and questioning God's plan in the next. But I want you to take heart and know that God is always in control. One day, believe me, one day, you will look back and understand. Until then, trust Him in waiting. knowing that He is working all things for His glory and for your good. In the passage, we see the response of the religious leaders, the Pharisees, in verse 19. The Pharisees, witnessing the crowd's enthusiasm, they respond with frustration. They say, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after Him." The Pharisees felt threatened by Jesus' growing influence, and their response was one of rejection and opposition. Instead of recognizing Jesus as the Messiah, they saw Him as a great threat to their power and traditions. The truth is that this same pattern continues today. Those who truly follow Christ will at times face opposition, not only from the world, but even from within religious and cultural circles that resist His call to radical obedience. Today, we face opposition from society and culture. Biblical values are often countercultural. In other words, they go against the prevailing culture. Living for Christ in a world that promotes materialism, self-centeredness, and moral relativism is often challenging. But we must stand for truth in a culture that celebrates compromise. We must choose purity and integrity in a world that normalizes sin. We are going to be ridiculed and labeled as intolerant for holding Christian beliefs. However, God's word says this: do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. We also face opposition in the workplace and in public life. At times, we are discouraged tactfully from sharing our Christian beliefs at work and at school. We face pressure to compromise integrity for personal or professional gain. We may even lose job opportunities or promotions because of standing up for biblical convictions. However, friend, God's word says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 5:10. We face opposition from friends and family. Yes, friends and family. Sometimes the hardest opposition comes from those closest to us. We face rejection or ridicule from family members who don't share our faith. We may lose friendships because of a commitment to Christ. We may feel isolated because others don't understand why we live differently. However, Jesus declares, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge them before my Father in heaven." Matthew 10:32. I want you to remember this, friends. Opposition is not a sign that we are on the wrong path. It is often a sign that we are following Jesus faithfully. The question is, will you continue to follow Him even when it's hard? Even when we are misunderstood, rejected, or ridiculed? How do we remain faithful to Christ when others misunderstand Him or even oppose Him? Well, first, we must choose obedience over popularity. You will note in the text and in Scripture generally, Jesus did not seek crowds. He sought commitment. True discipleship means following Him even when it's unpopular. And as I alluded to previously, Jesus says in Luke 9:23, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me." We must also stand for truth, even when it's hard. Many want Jesus the Savior, but not Jesus the Lord. And the truth is that being His disciple means standing for truth, even when it costs us. Third, we must keep trusting God, even when we don't understand. Like Jesus' disciples, we may not always grasp God's plan immediately, but we must trust that He is at work. Faith comes before understanding. And fourth, we must persevere even when the crowd turns against us. One moment, the people are shouting, "Hosanna!" And days later, they're shouting, "Crucify Him! crowds generally are fickle, but true disciples remain faithful. Dear friends, as we reflect on Jesus' journey to the cross, we must ask ourselves some very important questions. Do we follow Jesus for who he is or for what we want him to be? Are we willing to stand firm in our faith even when the world opposes us? Will we trust him even when we don't fully understand his plan? I want you to know that following Christ is not always easy. It requires courage, commitment, and faith. But the reward is eternal life, peace, and victory in Christ. Let us make the decision today to follow Jesus faithfully, no matter the cost. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus, not just as the King we want, but as the Savior we need. Help us to follow him with unwavering faith, even when others misunderstand or oppose us. Strengthen us, Lord, to walk in obedience, trust, and perseverance, knowing that you are always in control. I ask, Lord, that you would let our lives reflect your love and truth as we journey to the cross. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen and amen. I want to thank you for joining us today on Because He Lives. Be sure to tune in next week as we continue our three-part series, Journey to the Cross, Lessons from Christ's Final Days, by examining the topic, The Cost of True Discipleship. May God bless you as you walk in faith and follow Christ, no matter the cost. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. My life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.